Good evening, friends.
Good evening.
Beloved brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ. For those who do not know yet, my name is Rodi Gumpad, and my wife's name is Tessie Gumpad. We came from the Philippines, not from the Philistines. We arrived last June 17, but we landed first in Detroit, Michigan, and I preached at the congregation at Flint that first Sunday that we were here. And then we traveled to Illinois, and I also preached in a congregation at Wilmington. And then we came forward here at Indiana, and last Sunday I preached with the brethren at the Billville Church in the morning, and in the evening I preached also at the Morrisville Church. And then we moved Wednesday to the Traders Point Church, that one of the five churches that supports me, and I also preached there last Wednesday evening. We arrived here last Thursday, and we are staying with Brother Keith and Sister Rita. We are happy to see again our dear Brother Keith, who was with us in the Philippines last year. He did a lot of good things to us. He taught us many good lessons. He encouraged so many of us, and he made many friends out there. And we are happy to meet his good wife, Sister Rita. And not only that, I am very happy, and of course my wife too, that we are here now at the Knollwood Church that we had been longing to see, which I was started to write, I think, 1981 or 1982. And though you did not reply me immediately, you know, I know you are busy or things like that, but in 1989 or maybe 1990, one of you replied and said, Brother Rodi, I want to help you. And since that time, that sister continuously writing me back, and she was doing, she did what she can do, and then that follows some boxes of reading materials and things like that, and it's a mark, it has a mark from the Knollwood Church of Christ. And I said, all I thought, those brethren there at Knollwood would not remember the Philippine work, but I was mistaken. And until that kid came, that he said he is preaching here, and I said, I prayed much that maybe someday I can also come and visit the brethren there, and this is now. I'm happy to meet the elders. Brother Mike, Brother Tim, and Brother Mike yesterday, although he's on his bed, I told him yesterday that I'll be going home and will be praying for him. The sister that I mentioned a while ago is no other than else, our sister Juanita Ratliff. Thank you very much, Sister Juanita, for all the encouragement that you had shared to us. Especially these dark days. I said dark days because at those times my son was dying with cancer. And although we thought we lost him, but God is so gracious, he survived. To make it short, although he lost his right leg, he's still alive. And to us, that is a wonderful grace of God to us. So I should say again, Sister Juanita, thank you very much. We are happy that we meet you. And I do not know that you are a member here at the Knollwood Church of Christ. To all of you, brethren, to those who are praying for us there in the Philippines, thank you very much. We thank you very much. This evening, I will not tire you. Please open your Bibles and let's study the Word of God. Please open on the 7th chapter of Matthew. In chapter 7, verse 21, 22, and 23. One of the very popular verses of the Bible that I know many of you maybe can even memorize. But before we read the verses, may I have a request, please. Here is the request. Please, do not sleep while I am talking, okay? Please try to understand what I am trying to say. You have your Bible. I will say the verse. Try to follow. It's hard to speak English. And it is really common to everybody that language is really a barrier. But we thank the Lord that we have the Bible, that in reading we can understand that someday, somehow, language is no longer a problem. When we get over there. Why? Because there will be only one language there, and I hope it is Filipino. Chapter 7, verse 21, please. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. It's a simple analogy. In verse 23, the judge will say on the final day, depart from me, I do not know you. To whom? He will say that to people who claim that they know God, to people who claim that they were serving God or deserve God. But besides of all those declaim, spiritual works declaim, the judge will say, depart from me, I do not know you, in other passages. How many of them? In verse 22, it says, many, not few. So our topic this evening says why many could not reach heaven. You have your notes, if you could not see the chart. But I have 4 points that we are going to discuss this evening. Number one, why many could not reach heaven? Because they refused to obey the gospel of Christ. Number two, because they refused to hear Christ. Number three, because they went out from us. And number four, because they are lukewarm. And then we will discuss the body, the main of this lesson. We are talking about heaven here. Heaven is opposite of hell. Nobody wants to go to hell. All of us wants to go to heaven. Why? Because heaven is God's place. Jesus said in John 14, 1, 2, and 3, he said, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house has many mansions. I need to go, for I go and prepare a place for you. And if I will go, I will come again. All right. Christ promised to go and prepare a place for his disciples or his followers. And that place, heaven of rest, in 2 Peter 3:9, God wants every one of us to go to that place. He is not willing that any of us should perish. That's why in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3, the writer tells us that God provided the so great salvation so that we can go. He gave his only begotten Son. And in Romans 5:8, God commended his love toward us. He proved his love. Love is something like easy for many people. But if we will see how God extends his love, we can make a draw, and it's like this. You can love, you can give, without loving, but you cannot love without giving. And God proved that. All right, why, despite that God provided us the so great salvation, why many could not reach heaven? And let's go now to the first point. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, please open your Bibles with me. We'll read one of the reasons why. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7, 8, and 9. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Verse 8. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. In verse 8 it says, when Christ will come, he will come to punish those who do not know God, who refuse to know God, and also those who refuse to obey the gospel of Christ. It's so sad that for a reason that I do not know, so many people do not like to know God. And maybe one factor is because they have everything they need in this life. If you start talking with them about God, their interest is not there. And that's true in our country. And maybe true here also in your country. But you know what? Besides that, here is another point, that when Christ will come, he will punish those who do not like to obey the gospel of Christ. Maybe they are very interested about God. And maybe they are even more active than members of the church. And maybe they are even sitting in front rows of churches, but they do not like to obey the gospel of Christ. That is one reason why many could not reach heaven. What is the gospel? Romans 1:16, you know the verse, I know. Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power. It is the power of God to save us from that sin. Always remember that God created us clean, upright, Ecclesiastes 7:29, but Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short from the glory of God, and hell is now waiting for us. But God is so good to us. He sent his son Jesus Christ. The gospel of Christ has been presented. And what is the gospel? In Romans, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 to 3, we can understand that the gospel is about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. That, if that thing will be obeyed by a sinner, God will add him into the church. So the gospel will add us into the church. That's the point. Acts 2:47. The gospel will add us into the one body, which is the body of Christ. And also the gospel will make us member of God's family. To make it short, because of that gospel that has been preached and taught, there is no doubt that that's the reason why you are here, that why we are here, that why we can now call brothers and sisters in Christ. Why? Because we compose now the one family of God. Although your colors are white, or is white, and mine is, I do not know if it's almost black or brown, but in the sight of God, there is no color. It's the obedience of the gospel. So we can see how powerful the gospel, and that's why we need to obey the gospel by hearing the gospel, by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, by repenting of our sins, by confessing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and by being baptized for the remission of our sins. And that will cleanse us from any iniquities. As it was told to Paul, go and wash away thy sins. And that's why We have the record, Galatians 3:27, for as many of you who have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And that is the joy that we now have, brethren. We are now one in Christ because of that gospel. And we thank the Lord, we thank God for that sacrifice. You know what? I know you know this, but as Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, he said, wherefore, brethren, I am not negligent to remind you or put you in remembrance all these things, although you know them already. I know you know this already, but my point is to remind how great that God we have when He provided to us this gospel. That the essence is, we are the sinners. We were the transgressors, we are the rebels against God, and we are the one to be that must be punished because of our sins. But, and yet, the Bible tells us, Christ paid the price of our sins. He took the price of our sins. He was the one who crucified. And that's why we now often sing in the Rock of Ages. I think that's in the second stanza. There's a part there that says, in my hands, no price. In my hands, no price I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. What is that? In my hands, no price I bring. Simply to that cross, to thy cross, I cling. We cannot pay the price of our salvation. Dollar, riches, anything in this world cannot pay the wages of our sins. Only we cling on the cross. That's why we are so thankful to God. And that is so wonderful that makes us one in God's family. But why many still could not reach heaven? It is because, number two, they refuse to hear Christ. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 5, please. Chapter 17, verse 5. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Hear ye him. There is no doubt that this word is from the Father. And he was declaring that Jesus is his Son, and in this word, where he sent his Son, they must listen to him. In other words, this word of sin, if they want to be saved, they must listen to Christ. What did Jesus say? One of his words in Matthew 16:18. What did he say? Well, after that confession of Peter, Jesus said, and I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Not Baptist church. We were watching, as Brother Kit mentioned this morning, we were watching about the debate between Brother Larry Huffley and Mr. Ross of the Baptist Church, and you will be embarrassed when you hear a gospel preacher that will say that he is the true Church of Christ, but wearing the name Baptist Church. You know, that's why Brother Larry preached him. Why did you, if you are the Church of Christ, what do you call in your signs? Is it Church of Christ or Baptist? And I think that guy did not answer him, right? He did not. What we are talking about is God the Father said, this is my Son, hear him, listen to him. And what did he say? I will build my church. The word church from the Greek word ecclesia, which means a group of people that were called out, you and me, all, everybody who wants to obey the gospel of Christ, they will be called by Christ. And that is the church, the ecclesia. And we know that Paul called that church of Christ, Romans 16:16. What else? The church has been called as the body of Christ, Colossians 1:18. What else? The church has been called as the kingdom of Christ, and also God's family in 1 Timothy 3:15. The church is the family of God. So what we can understand here, brethren, the message is very clear. God the Father said, this is my Son, Christ, listen to him. Jesus said, I will build my church. And then he extended the invitation, Matthew 11:28, come unto me. And those who obey his gospel will compose his church, will compose his body, will compose his kingdom, and all members of God's family. But it's so sad that so many are not paying attention to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Look at the denominations. Jesus Christ built his church. People are keeping also building their churches. We have the Catholic, the Mormons, the Muslims, Methodists, and so forth, so forth. According to David Barrett, as of December 31, 1989, there are already about 20,800 different religions in entire the world. If that is true, and that was 1989, and he said 20,800, and it's now year 2005, what do you think, brethren? It might be now 30,000 different religions. And what God said, what the Father said, this is my son, you hear him. All right, the son said, I will build my church. Now the church is the body. How many bodies? One body. And brethren, it's so sad that people continuously joining denominations, leaders, religious leaders, building their own. And Matthew 15:13 will tell us, they will not be saved. They shall be rooted up. Psalm 127:1, if the Lord will not be the one to build the house, they are only, what's the term there? They are only building, or they are only, may I read the verse, please? 127, there is the word. I want that word that used there. Except that Lord build the house, they labor in vain. That's the word that I want to say. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. Brethren, we are so thankful that we learned about the Lord's church and we obeyed, and we are now members of this church that we can read in the Bible. But you know what? Still many could not reach heaven. Why? Number three. 2 John 2:19. They went out from us. Look at this verse, brethren. Once again, thank you for opening your Bibles with me. 1 John 2:19. The verse says, they went out from us, for they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. John said, they went out from us. Hey, so many people obeyed the truth. They were baptized into Christ. They become member of the Lord's church. They become member of the body of Christ, the kingdom of Christ, and God's family. But something happened. They went out from us. They went out from us. Why? What happened? 2 Thessalonians 2:3 tells us about apostasy that will come. Turning back. Turning back. One time they promised that, yes, Lord, I will serve you now until the rest of my life. But later they went out. In 1 Timothy 4:1 tells us, Paul tells us that in the last days, some shall depart from the faith. All right, in Acts 20, verse 30, this is the verse that I want you to please open with me. Acts 20, verse 30. And this is what Paul told to the Ephesian elders. Also of your own selves shall men arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Who are they, own selves? Also of your own selves shall men arise. You are members of the Lord's church. And it's so sad that sometimes there are those Christians who are not paying attention to the sermon or to the lessons that we are studying, and they just go on with their own, and still their old life they are still carrying. So backbiting, hating each other, and blah, 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 you know, is still going on and the church suffers. And here the Apostle Paul told to the Ephesian elders, also of your own selves shall men arise and speak perverse things. So sad. And then we have 2 John 2:19. This verse was used by Brother Kit this morning. If 2 John 9, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. What happened? One time they are abiding in the doctrine of Christ, but they went out. They went out. Now, the result, some of them become churches of Christ also. But they are now identified as church of Christ instrumental. Meaning, they now insist, they are now preaching, telling that Christians can use mechanical instruments in during Christian worship. While the one who died for us, the one who built the true church, his doctrine is every member of the church must sing and make melody in your heart. Not heart, it's heart. So sad, these brethren are now expanding and not only instrumental music now that they are endorsing, but other and scriptural practices now, and they are in the Philippines. Some also members of the church, one time they are faithful, but they went out, they are also calling themselves Church of Christ, but they are identified now as one cup or one container brethren. I know you know them already, you know. They insist that when we partake the Lord's Supper, we must use only one literal cup. And in that one literal cup, we also need to mark. There are some of them who do that. Mark the other side of the glass so that it will be there that I will dip my lips. The next one will also there. The next one will also there. The next one also there. All of us will dip our lips into that one section. In the Philippines, there are people who have red lips, you know, because of their, what they call this, they are chewing. They are chewing things that making their lips red. I don't know if you can. But we are not talking about sanitation here. We are talking what does the original doctrine of the true church of Christ. Well, it tells us that the fruit of divine, the cup is the fruit of divine. And that is the thing that we need to drink. So you could not drink the cup, the literal container. And that's the problem of this brethren. But there are some of the faithful members went out, and they still call themselves Church of Christ, but they are identified as premillennialists now. They believe on the doctrine of rapture. That in that rapture, there is a doctrine there that inculcated that when Christ will come, number one, it will be secret. Number two, only the righteous dead will arise. And only those are alive will be caught up. So the wicked dead at that time will not be raised up until after 1,000 years, and of course the 7 years great tribulation. And while also the wicked alive, they will not be caught up, only the righteous, so that this wicked will go through to the 7 years great tribulation. But the doctrine of the true church of Christ, our Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us, he said in John 5:28-29, where he said that when he comes, all that are in the grave shall rise up. He said, all. If it is all, not some. So you can say, and one more thing is, that will be occurred on the last day. If it's the last day, where will you put 7 years and 1,000 years more? So this is the problem of this brethren, and they are also, some of them are also in the Philippines. What else, some members of this church went out. They are called themselves Church of Christ also, but they are identified as ME, or the Mutual Edification Brethren. They believe that the church could not support the preacher. It's one of the main member will just go around and do the teaching and preaching. And if they will pay, They will all go to hell. So if that is true, all the Christians here at the Nullwood Church and the Metro Tuigaraw Church where I preach will go to hell. But is that true? What does our Lord Jesus say? Galatians, 1 Corinthians, and other passages tells us that we have obligations as members of the church. We have obligations to those who labor for us. And that's it. So these things are making these brethren, making themselves as identified as those numbered to those who went out. But else, some are called the liberal brethren, the institutional, and they are very strong in the Philippines. Of course, they were known as been there since 1950s, and they have Bible colleges, Luzon, in Baguio City, in Cebu, and in Mindanao. They are strong there. They believe that they can use the church money to even to the non-saints. The true church of Christ, we have the record, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, the collection is for the saints. What else? Some members, they are faithful one time, but they went out. They are still calling themselves Church of Christ, but they are pro-eating blood. And they also advancing their doctrine about the one eternal covenant. I don't know here, but in the Philippines, there is a thing that we call balut. What is balut? Okay, I do not know if Kit remember this. It's an egg with chick inside. People will cook that, including the chick, and they will eat that. And they said, delicious. The blood is there. Can you eat that? I don't think so. But this brother and his colleague said, yeah, no problem. If you cite Acts 15:20, no. Acts 15:20 was first written down 1 Corinthians. And then, if you will discuss that, he will say, it is not recorded in Revelation 21:8. Can you find blood there? But we all know, brethren, that since the beginning, blood has been prohibited by God for Christians or God's people to eat. And that's why you and I are not eating. Why? It is the will of our Lord. It is God's command that we do not eat. But these brethren are now teaching, and so you know the effect of that. Some of their fellows can smoke. Some of their fellows can drink a little bit. And that's the effect of that. It's loose doctrine. And not only that, they insist the one eternal covenant, meaning in the Old Testament, God gave that covenant. In the New Testament, the same God gave that covenant. So since that there is the same God who gave that old covenant, that is all true. Go to the New Testament and there is only one eternal covenant, since there is only one God who gave a covenant. Can you accept that? What is the use of the death of Christ? We have a record, Hebrews 9:15 to 17, that tells us that the cross of Christ, the death of Christ, is the official ending of the Old Testament and also the official beginning of the New Testament. And yet these brethren are disregarding this thing. And one more, some members, they went out, they still call themselves Church of Christ, but they are partakers and compromisers. What do I mean of that? Even they know that the preacher is preaching false, they can accept him to come and preach to them. They can have fellowship with them. I don't believe on that, brethren. It is in 2 John 11 that the writer said that if we will do that, we are partakers of their evil deeds. Can you let Billy Graham to stand in this pulpit and preach to you? He's a good man. And yet, it's so sad that there are brothers. He is a brother in Christ. He's an American brother. He said, a false teacher means the one that has a bad character, not because he is teaching false. Can you imagine that? Billy Graham is a good man. Is he a false teacher? Yes or no? Well, these brethren, they went out from us, and if they will continue to do that, I have fear that they will hear the word of the Lord, depart from me, I do not know you. Okay, let's go on. I don't want to tire you. Never mind, brethren. If I'm done, I will stop. I promise you that. So be patient. Number four. Why many could not reach heaven? Revelation 3:16, please. Revelation 3:16. Let's start reading verse 15. The verse says, I know thy words, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Why many could not reach heaven? Because they refuse to obey the gospel, because they refuse to obey Christ, and because they went out from us. But there's another one, because they are lukewarm. And because they are lukewarm, God said, I will spew thee out. Look, they are members of the Lord's church. They have been baptized for the remission of their sins, but they are lukewarm. And the verses in verse 15, God wants us to be hot, or God wants us also to be cold. What does that mean? To be hot means if you hold your ear, and if it is still hot, that means you are still alive and kicking. But if it is cold, you might be dead already. So the idea here is God, as Christians, as members of the body of Christ, we must be hot in our service to Him. Is there a verse on that? Let me see, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. No, I'm sorry, it's Romans. I'm sorry for that. Romans 6. I think in verse 11, we'll see. Romans 6, yes. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed into sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I believe that is the meaning of hot. Christians must be hot, or must be alive in the service of the Lord, whether rain or shine, whether you are in the point of death or in peace. We must be hot in the service of the Lord. At the same time, God said, or else I would like you to be cold. What is cold? And here comes now 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. 2:24, 1 Peter. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. Dead to sin. If you are cold, I said a while ago, you are dead. Now, God wants us to be cold. The meaning is, God wants us to be dead to sin. And that's the reason why every member of the Lord's church, you and me, are afraid to commit sins anymore. And that's why we are not going anymore to the karaoke bar. And that is why we stop already our smoking. Because we know that it destroys our lungs and other immune system of our body. Isn't that? That is why members of the Lord's church are not drinking anymore liquor. And that is why we are not doing anything wrong, which is against to the law of our King, Jesus Christ. Oh, God wants us to be cold or to be hot, or else He will spew thee out, meaning we could not reach heaven, even though we were baptized into Christ. So you can say the part of those who become the members of the Lord's church, slowly, little by little, you know, and there is a remnant here, the faithful. And you know already the verse, Revelation 2:10, that tells us that those members must remain faithful. Remain faithful means, maybe I will just read Colossians, because these things are the admonitions of Paul. Open your Bibles, please, in Colossians 3. This is that the passage that I want to read now. But please allow me to bring your mind first here. Why many could not reach heaven? Because they refused to obey the gospel of Christ. Number two, because they refused to hear Christ. They love their denominational groups. Number three, because they went out from us. They love bubblings and things like that. The rest, they are lukewarm. There is a passage, I think it's in 1 Peter 3:14 or 3:17, that the salvation of righteous is scarce, very hard. So you can see that only a portion of the Lord's church will be left, only the faithful will go to heaven. And I believe that it's one of us counting that we are in this group this evening. I believe that none of us are considering themselves outside among the faithful members of the Lord's Church. Why? It is because we want to reach heaven. We want to reach heaven. And while waiting for the coming of the Lord, as He promised in John 14:1-3, I will come again to take you with me. He will come to take His faithful children, His faithful disciples, not the unfaithful, the faithful. And while we are waiting for His coming, here is what Paul is saying to us now. Colossians, please. Chapter 3, verse 1. This is what he said now. If ye then, read faster so that finish through. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. That's the reason why we are not aftering so much material things, because we know that things like that could not bring us to heaven. What else? When Christ, verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. That is our hope. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. But while waiting for his appearance, he said in verse 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. And in verse 8, but now ye also put off all this, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. What else? Number 9, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. What else? In verse 14, and above all these things, put on charity. Verse 14. And above all these things, while waiting for the coming of our Lord Savior, his appearance, the apostle said, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And in verse 17, and whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. What else in verse 18? Here's what he says. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Wives, submit or obey or respect your husband. Cooperate with them, especially if it is about the Lord's work. And then, verse 19, husbands, love your wives. It does not say spank your wives. And that's why all members of the Lord's church who are husbands are doing all their best to love their wives. That, as you can see in this picture, I don't know if you can see, if our wives is as pretty as that, we love her very much. But time will change everything. As you can see this picture, the question is, do you still love her? The Bible tells us, yes, you must love her. Not only when she is like that. I don't know if you can see. Even time will make her like that. You must love her. That's what the Bible says. Husbands, love your wives. 20, here comes verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things. Listen. Children, obey your parents in all things. Again, I repeat, please. Children, obey your parents in all things. Not, it doesn't say some things. All things. That's why if I am a child and my mother or my father will say to me, son, do not do that because it hurts you. I must obey him. I must obey my mother or my father. Why? Especially if I am a lady, weaker than a man. I do not like, parents do not like to see their children later to drink their own tears when they stumble like that. And that's the reason why parents are doing their best to teach their children the way and the roles about things about God, because we love our children. And so children must understand this, if why our parents are doing some strictness to us, because they love us. And now, it's your turn. The Bible tells you, children, obey your parents in all things. Fathers, 21, provoke not your children to anger. Verse 22, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. And whatsoever you do, verse 23, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Knowing, Mark verse 24, this is the last verse. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. What we are saying about, what we are talking about? We are talking about the great salvation that has been provided to us by God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ made the remedy. We obey the gospel. We become members of God's family, God's kingdom, God's body, Christ's body. And He promised, Christ promised, I will come again to take you with me. When will be that? We do not know. But we need